The theme is one of the things, women in the scripture or in the New Testament. The first talk is titled The Woman Caught in Adultery, and the introductory reading to that is it's in the reading is John chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. So I'll read that. Or do you want to read it? Okay. So I'm reading this from John chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. Well, verse 53 from the previous chapter. Then each of them went home while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before them all of them. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Okay, Wayne, I'll invite you to come and speak to us.
Good evening, everyone. Generally good to be with you. The Paternal Take Two. It's John that seems to tell us about the hostility between the scribes and the Pharisees and the crowd towards Jesus. And if we go to John chapter 5 and verse 16, it starts off and we read, I'm using the New King James Version. "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath." And if we move on to chapter 7 and verse 1, "And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him." And we go to verse 14 of chapter 7. "Now Jesus was in the middle of the feast. Jesus went up to the temple. He's now in the temple teaching." Verse 32. "The Pharisees heard at the crowd murmuring things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So there's murmurings amongst the crowd." And verse 53, we read, "And everyone went to his own house." So the background of what we're going to look at is discontent. The Pharisees and scribes want him dead. It's unpleasant. And in this unpleasant atmosphere, Jesus comes from the mountain. I mean, verse 2. "But early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, for he sat down and taught them. So he continues to teach and preach, and then this happened. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had sat her in the midst, I cannot believe they would have said to her, get dressed, tidy yourself up, you're going somewhere. She was a pawn in a bigger game for them. Interesting, we're not told anything about who she's with. Now, I don't know from experience, but if I was having an affair or an illicit rendezvous, I would have made sure the doors were shut and nobody knew about it. It would not be public and it would not be accessed to where I was for what I was doing. But they, A, knew where she was and, more importantly, what she was doing. And it seems to me, from her reaction, if she had not been interrupted, she would have been quite content. So from her perspective, this wasn't just embarrassing, but not what she was expecting. So she's there before the Lord. And then we're told this. And they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such one should be stoned. But what do you say? The law says, what do you say? And what law were they talking about? Keep a marker in John 8 and come with me to Deuteronomy 22. And verse 22. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them should die. But the man that lay with a woman and the woman, so you shall put away this evil person from the land. That's one type of crime. But notice verse 23. If a young woman who is a virgin to be betrothed to a husband, and the man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them both with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so shall put away the evil person from among you. And notice in verse 22, it just says they shall die. And in the other accounts under the law, if a man and a woman were together, the law just says they should be killed. It's only here in verse 23 that stoning is mentioned. So when they say to him, the law says she should be stoned, they are looking at something quite specific in terms of where they're going. And we're told why. That they should say, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. What's going on here can be something which could be used as an accusation. That's more than a test. and it's deeper than the test. If I'm accusing you of something, it's going to be something quite negative. And if I'm testing you, that could be for something quite trivial. I suggest, brothers and sisters, that when they were accusing him, and they were saying, if a virgin who's betrothed, their minds were with someone. And I have no doubt in my mind that when they decided they wanted this man dead, they would have looked at any situation they could to achieve that. And the first thing I would have done, if I was a scribe or Pharisee, I would have wanted to know as much as I could about this man. Look for his failures, look for his weaknesses, look at anything I could use to bring him down. And we know the situation with his mother and his birth. How do you explain that? And we'll look into that next week. But how do you explain that to someone who doesn't believe? I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about then. And you've got to explain that situation. And I suggested that situation, they had some rather unsavory things to think through and do. But before we go any further with that, I think we need just to notice how the Lord dealt with this situation with this woman. Because I'm in my mind, she would have had next to nothing to wear. Maybe if she was quick enough, she could catch a sheet to cover her modesty. From their perspective, she was irrelevant, unimportant. She was a sinner. They're not looking at her in any positive way. So you're not concerned about her feelings, her emotions. It may well be it was someone they knew in their group. Hence why they knew what was going on. Whatever. Isn't it lovely that under all the commotion, Jesus does this? But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. He's not looking at her. He's looking down to the ground. Not only is that lovely in terms of he's not sinning with his eyes, but he's also looking where their thoughts are coming from, the ground. I asked myself this to my shame. Where would my eyes be? And they wouldn't be to the ground, but his were. I wonder what he wrote. Still keep a marker in John and come with me to, and I'm now in, I'll find my notes, Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. and how apt that verse is into what we're looking at and what's going on. They had forsaken their Lord. They had no shame in what they were doing to this poor woman. They had forsaken and were ashamed. And Jesus, I wonder if he started writing Jeremiah down so they had a verse to think about. But whatever he was writing there seemed to have no real effect. Because we're then told, so when they continued asking Jesus, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who's without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." So he now speaks. But there seems to be no response to his words in what he said. But then we do have a response. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he now writes a second time on the ground. And it's in that second moment we have this response. "Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even to the last." So it's only in that second time of writing as their conscience pricked and they leave. And I wonder, it's only my imagination, did Jesus write first Jeremiah and they just ignored it? And did he write the second time names and sins that he knew who they were and what they'd done, just as he knows about us, who we are and what we do? And did that prick their conscience that the only two people were left were him and this woman? Question for all of us. How would we have reacted if we were Jesus? We've got this woman in front of us. We know all about her. We've got these men before us, and we know all about them. And we've got them making an accusation about his mother. You see, the accusation and test for me is fairly simple. Here's a woman caught in adultery. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? She's been caught in the very act. If he says nothing, then he'll say, "But the law says you should do this," and she's caught. If he says, "Yes, she should be stoned," what about your mum then? Shouldn't she be stoned? Haven't you got double standards? One for this woman and one for your mother. And if you think I'm being far-fetched in my concept, still in John chapter 8, verse 41. "You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And yes, I know the religious concept is equally true in terms of their, we only have one Father. But what a strange statement to make. We were not born of fornication. Were they still thinking about what they perceived his family history was? Let's go to verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Do you not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? What do they mean, a Samaritan and have a demon? Were they suggesting that his real father was from Samaria, that he was a Samaritan? Yes, they knew that Joseph wasn't his father, but if it wasn't Joseph, they can't accept who it was. How would you feel if you're the Lord and that's their thinking, that's their mindset? Would you get angry? Would you get emotional? Would you react? Would you overreact? There's a very thin line between righteous judgment and sin. And there are times when we get angry because we feel it's right. But how close do we come to sinning? And I marvel here at the Lord's self-discipline. The Lord dealing with this situation. And we came back to him with a woman. I'm now at verse 44. Woman, where are there accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, your sins are forgiven. You think of the woman in Luke 7 who was a sinner, Luke tells us. And she pours out her feelings to the Lord. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven because she loved much. He doesn't condemn her, but he asks her to rethink where she is. And I think that's really interesting in how he speaks to both women in terms of no condemnation here, but equally, no open forgiveness here. It's for her to change her lifestyle. And that just reinforces for me that if she wasn't interrupted, she'd have been quite happy with the situation she was in at that time. But she was being used by them. And it's not by accident that Jesus then says, verse 12, and Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that woman was in darkness, spiritual darkness and quite literal darkness, in what she was doing. But more darker than her were those who brought her to him. We see how low they got to try and destroy him. And we sometimes think, okay, what relevance is that to us? Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we know Peter, the one also who said many things and was just like you and I, made mistakes. And here we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 23. For to you that you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. I used to think those statements by Peter were telling me how I should deal with suffering because Christ suffered. And yes, that's true. But I think it's a far more basic challenge for all of us, is how do we deal with insults? How do we deal with statements made against us? I've never yet seen a situation where I'm in the meeting, Malcolm, in the car park, brother, let's get it sorted. Never seen that. But I've been in business meetings and Bible classes where things have got heated. Things that should never be said by brothers and sisters get said. You see, it's very difficult when someone insults us to let it go. It's very difficult if a family member is criticized for us to say, leave it go. Our natural reaction is to respond. And I suggest that the biggest lesson for me in this incident, it isn't his compassion, though it's there, but it's his self-control. That when he was threatened, he didn't respond. When his family were character assassinated, he didn't react. He let it go. And when we read here in Peter, in terms of what the Lord did, let's not just limit it, however true it is, just to the crucifixion. We've got to see this man letting so many things go. And this is probably one of the most difficult in terms of where they were. And I'll finish with this challenge. If that was us and we were there, how would we react? And on that note, I finished.
Well, thank you much, Wayne, for that.